That we can come before you in Jesus' name, and that you desire to show forth your grace and power and forgiveness in our lives and the life of our church body. And that this Christmas season, that we would celebrate that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. That he humbly came to this earth, born of Mary, born under the law, that he might redeem us who are under the law, and that we might receive adoption as sons. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your power. For you lived a righteous life and you died on the cross and you paid the debt for all of our sins and you were resurrected from the dead, that we may walk in newness of life. And even now you intercede on our behalf. And one day we get to go to heaven and be with you, for you've promised to prepare a place for us. We're so grateful that even in these moments that we can draw near the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, and that you, Lord Jesus, always live to make intercession for us as we draw near to God through you. And may this Christmas be a season where you indeed are celebrated. You are worshipped. And there will be a greater focus and emphasis and attention on you as our Savior and our Lord, as our God, as our Messiah. All that the promises of God that are given to us in you. All that we need in our Christian life, you make available to us. And so would you help us even as a church body to continue to depend upon you, to trust in you, to believe in you, to walk with you, and that you would teach us and help us and guide us. Father, we pray again this morning for Scott and Melva and just commit them into your care. And as Melva's on hospice care now, we ask that your loving kindness, you'd show forth your loving kindness to them. That your great love and your mighty power be on display in them, that you'd give them great patience with one another. Give them endurance and perseverance in these days as they wait upon you. And we commit them into your care, that you would bless them and encourage them this Christmas season. And Lord, we pray that you just continue to give comfort to each of the families in our church body who are grieving, who have had loved ones who have died in recent days. And Christmas is a time of joy and blessing, but it can be hard. And I pray that in these moments, in these days, that you would lift the hearts of those who are grieving. We're so thankful for the hope of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, that you, Lord Jesus, are the resurrection and the life, that if we believe in you, we do live forever. So give comfort to these grieving families that are here, even in our church body. And I pray, Lord, that you bless each of the families here at New Life Fellowship. Bless each of us as we celebrate Christmas with family and friends, that Christ be lifted up and exalted. Lord, we do pray again for Karen Meyer, she recovers from her knee surgery. And Lord, that you continue to be with her in this time of recovery. We're so thankful that we can be together as a church body this Christmas Eve and to sing, to pray, to study your word. We ask, Lord Jesus, that your glory would be on display, that your people would be comforted and strengthened, that those who are not yours would indeed reach out and grab hold of you in saving grace and forgiveness of their sins. We thank you that we can come before you, that you care for us in the way that you have provided for this church body this past year. May you continue to be merciful. May you continue to be gracious to us as a church body and strengthen our Christian testimony, that we would be a people that indeed live for you and not for ourselves, that we desire to obey the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for this time together. May you continue to bless this church body in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Luke chapter 2. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 to 20. These are the words that are so familiar to us, given to us by God Himself, that we would know and celebrate on days like this. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. Now it happened that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus for a census to be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was going to be registered for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and who was with child. Now it happened while they were there, the days were fulfilled for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you: you'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." And it happened that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known to them the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary was treasuring all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as was told them. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful to read this account of the arrival of your Son. It humbles us and it helps us to recognize and understand the great power that you have and your glory on display as you would send your Son to such a humble place, to be welcomed by so few, even in his early days, to be refused and rejected. Oh Lord, we pray that even today all would receive and believe. All would have you, Lord Jesus, and would live for you. And this wasn't just be a story that was told, but it is the reality of the truth of who you are. You were born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so would you open our eyes and help us understand in a greater way that we can celebrate Christmas, this Christmas season, exalting you as the Christ. The baby born in a manger, yes. But the one who comes to seek and to save that which is lost. To be our Lord and our Savior and our God. And Lord Jesus, we need you more than ever in our lives and in this world. And so may your glory be on display, that we would trust and believe in you even more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The wonder of the Christmas story. The simplicity and the majesty of the story of the birth of the Savior. The details that allow the youngest of us here to understand and know exactly what happened. But for those of us that have known the story for many years, that we still are in awe and wonder and are captured by these moments. And recognizing and understanding all that Jesus is, all who Jesus is, and all that He came to do, And those of us that have put our faith in the Lord Jesus, even today, there are things that we desire this one to do in us. As I prayed even this morning, that we are compelled by the reality that Jesus is our great high priest interceding for us even in heaven, even now. And the writer of Hebrews would say in chapter 4, let us draw near with confidence the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. All this is a great reality to us because of the truth that is given here in this narrative for us. The one who was born that would grow up and become a man, the fulfillment of prophecy and the giving of promises. Oh, I trust that even as a believer in the Lord Jesus, that you will believe in Him more, desire to have more of Him, and wanting to understand exactly all that He came to accomplish in your life. And recognizing the simplicity and majesty of the story of the birth of the Savior. Over these last several weeks, we've been talking much about prophecy and the reality of fulfilled prophecy is the testimony of this Christmas season. And fulfilled prophecy is the reality that the Lord God is trustworthy. And not only that there's fulfilled prophecy that we can look at, but the very promises of God that are given to us and the great declaration that the Lord God is faithful. And then the Savior of the world, Jesus Himself, that the Lord God is gracious. We've repeated this a number of times, that hope is described this way. It's a confident expectation God does accomplish His plans according to His promises, which He revealed in His Word to His people. We looked at earlier this month in the prophecy of His birth in Bethlehem and Micah chapter 5 and the great testimony that was given. And if you remember, as we spoke about those things, that He was going to be born in Bethlehem, He would come and be a ruler. This one who the writer says, the prophet himself, his times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. He will rise up and shepherd His flock. He will be a shepherd in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord His God, and this one will be our peace. What a magnificent testimony that is given. And then we saw the prophecy of the son named Jesus in Luke chapter 1. If you just turn back with me to Luke chapter 1, we see this in the testimony given, verse 30. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will be a king. He will be a shepherd. And in Matthew, we looked at last week, the prophecy of the son who saves in Matthew chapter 1. The angel spoke to Joseph and said, she will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He is a king. He is a shepherd. He is a savior. Do you realize, dear friend, this morning that you need God to have that place in your life? To be your king, to be your shepherd, and to be your savior? And God is the fulfillment of that promise, that the record and the account in history is He entered into our world and was born and laid in a manger. The great testimony that is given here of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem is a wonderful testimony to the power of God and the grace of God. But it's a great reminder, because even on that night when Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, verse 7, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room or the inn. The great anticipation, what Mary and Joseph would have thought about this baby, all that they had heard. These promises, these prophecies that have been fulfilled. And now the opportunity for promises to be believed. who this one would be, what he would accomplish, what he would indeed do. And it's wonderful when we think about it this way and understand the glorious testimony that is given of the Savior that we can look at, and it lifts our hearts and helps us recognize that indeed God is there to help, to rescue, to deliver, to save, to intervene, that he has power over every circumstance. I like how one man said it this way. In this testimony in Luke chapter 2, we see the humble arrival of a glorious Savior. We see the humble hearers of a glorious Lord and the humble proclamation of a glorious birth. And so look with me as we just briefly look at these verses together, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. You could describe this as the personal details for the birth of a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The great testimony that is given by the angel down in verse 10 and 11. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That we need God to be the one who rescues us and saves us. And isn't it wonderful to consider and understand that Jesus came to the earth to be our Savior, to be our Lord, and to be our Christ, to be our King. And the great need that we have for him every day of our lives to have that place in us. Notice these personal details. And you love the way that Luke describes this as a historian and seeing the historical setting of this and the Lord God arranging the arrival of the Savior on the earth. And sometimes we don't stop and consider the backdrop of these things that occurred. The simplicity of the description of his birth and being laid in the manger. And then the angels break forth. But recognizing and understanding what had happened, what was going on in the days for Mary and Joseph in the world at that time. Notice beginning in verse 1, the troubling circumstances for the people at his birth. Notice how Luke describes it. Now it happened that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus for a census to be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was going to register for the census, each to his own city. What you have occurring here, dear friend, is the reality that there are men that are in charge of this realm and this world. They are ruling. They are making decisions. And yet God in his sovereignty is overseeing all of it. The contrast that Luke gives to us here between the great Caesar Augustus, who was the first Roman emperor, to the Lord God himself laid in a manger. That the Lord God, when he comes to send the Savior to the world, doesn't need the assistance of great and mighty men on this earth. He's humbly given to Mary and Joseph, laid in a manger. But these troubling circumstances, why would this be so troubling for them? Well, if you know much about the history of that time, this was a very troubling time. And Luke accounts it for us by identifying Caesar Augustus as the only place that he's found in the New Testament. His original name was Gaius Octavius. And he became, as I mentioned earlier, the first Roman emperor. Everything about the Roman Empire transformed under his rule. Matter of fact, in 27 BC, he approached the Senate and they gave him the name Augustus, and therefore he became Caesar Augustus, and Augustus means venerable, exalted one. This Caesar Augustus was actually the one who began the worship of the Roman emperors. And the amazing thing about this man is that he took this title of Augustus to be receive such worship. And the reason why this is important for us, dear friend, is that on this earth, men clamor for power and their own glory. And God is of a much different character altogether. and understanding and recognizing the power that God has, he does not need to use such men or have such men to be on his side. For by the way, Caesar Augustus, as he makes the census to be taken of all the inhabited earth, he was doing it not to fulfill the plans and purposes of God, but to increase the amount in the treasuries. He had great plans for what he was going to do. He was a man of mighty valor and vision and authority and power, and the way that he was going to build the Roman Empire, and he needed the taxes of the people. And God, in his sovereignty, orchestrated and directed these matters so that Mary and Joseph would come to Bethlehem. The thing I want you to see is how concerned men and women and people of this world are for ourselves, for our own glory. And the Christmas story is really a change in the heart of any one of us, that I no longer seek to live for my own glory, for my own name, but I desire to live for the glory in the name of this one who has come to save. And recognizing that great change that occurs in the life, because that's where the humble shepherds come in later on. They give tribute to this baby and they testify to the reality of who he is as they hear the message of the angels. And it's a wonderful thing. But the troubling circumstances for the people on the earth in his birth, and dear friend, I'm here to tell you that this historical situation, a decree that was sent out, there was a desperate need for the Savior in this world that Jesus comes into. And those of you that are believers here and been saved by God's grace, you understand that desperate need for a Savior. But maybe you're here this morning and you say, could he save such a one as I? I desperately need a Savior. The troubling circumstances they found themselves at his birth show us a desperate need for the Savior, and the Savior came. I love, too, the way that Luke describes when he says, now it happened in those days, a decree went out. As one man said, it was not a once upon a time story here. This isn't some kind of fairy tale. This is the actual reality and history that is unfolded. That's why Luke describes in verse 2, in the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, that these actual events fall into human history that we can track when Caesar Augustus ruled as the Roman emperor, when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and the census and these times of registry and all these things that occurred. It's wonderful. Because you know what it's telling us? That the Savior came to a real place for real people with real promises. See, if this is just some story that we make up, it really comes down to whether you'll believe the story or not. But if this actually happened in history and it is the fulfillment of God's word and the delivering upon his promise according to his prophecy, it grabs our attention and say, this is where all my hopes and fears are wrapped up in. The great attention that we ought to have on Jesus in this Christmas season is given to us in the account here, from the troubling circumstances of the people at his birth to the unwelcoming surroundings of the place of his birth. And notice, as Luke continues in verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth in Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. So here you have real places again, and real people. And Luke is identifying this one, Joseph, and it gives us an understanding why they have to go to Bethlehem. Verse 5, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was with child. And verse 6, and now it happened while they were there, the days were fulfilled for her to give birth. There were not only troubling circumstances for the people at his birth, but there was unwelcoming surroundings of the place of his birth. this is the kind of Savior that comes to us. Not only that we see the desperate need for the Savior, but the difficult times when the Savior comes. It's so wonderful when you think of it that way and recognizing and understanding exactly what God is doing here. Joseph, Galilee, Nazareth, David, Bethlehem, all these things that are identifying to us that he is of the family of David. What a beautiful testimony. Again, we already read in Matthew chapter 1 that the angel came to Joseph and spoke to him about this child that he would be born. And recognizing how God orchestrated all these events to fulfill his prophecy, that the promises about this one would be believed, that our hope and trust and belief would be in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And then in verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room or the inn. We see the troubling circumstances of the people at his birth, the unwelcoming surroundings of the place of his birth, and then finally the fulfilling prophecies of the promise of his birth. Here you have the son who was born. But did you notice there's not all the fanfare that you would expect at this moment? There isn't anything on the earth that would testify to the great magnitude and the majesty of this one who was born. And the reason it is that way, dear friend, is that we, no matter who we are, can come and draw near to this one. We don't have to put on royal attire. That's why I love the shepherds, as we've talked before. So interesting, the shepherds become the first witnesses of this birth, these lowly shepherds, and recognizing and testifying to the reality of what God has done and fulfilling his prophecy of the promise of his birth, that a child will be born, a son will be given, that the incarnate Son of God has come. And yet it is done so humbly in such a lowly place that every single one of us can draw near to it and receive him. Dear friend, it's almost as if God, when he comes to the earth, he wants us to recognize that he draws near to us in a lowly place, that all would draw near to him and receive and have and believe. Don't you wish you had a little more commentary here from Mary and Joseph? As they held this child in their arms and recognized the promises that had been fulfilled, and all that the promises they believed about this one because of what God had said to them. So Christmas is a time, dear friend, where prophecies are fulfilled and promises believed. And it makes us take a step back and say, what do I believe about this one who was born? Do I really believe that he's the only one who can save me from my sin? Do I really believe that he comes into the world so that he'll be Lord of my life, King of my life, Shepherd of my soul? The magnificent story that is given to us allows any one of us to draw near and to see. But Christmas is a time when we receive him, and we have him, and we believe him, and we live for him. And so the prophecies fulfilled and the promises believed. I like how Charles Spurgeon said it this way, in speaking about these matters of all that was going on in this scene, and considering the great Caesar Augustus calling for a census, and the end result being the deliverance of the arrival of the Son of God on the earth laid in a manger. All of these details that are given to us put in history so that it becomes very personal for us. Well, listen to the way Spurgeon says it. Little did any idea enter into Caesar's head that he was accomplishing the purpose of God by bringing Mary to Bethlehem at that particular time, so that her child might be born there. But God can accomplish the purpose of his providence and of his grace in any way that he pleases. And although Caesar is not aware of all that is involved in his action, his decree, which he intends simply to be means of registering his subjects and of filling his coffers, it is to be overruled by God for the fulfillment of the prophecy uttered centuries before the event happened. That Christ must be born at Bethlehem. It may seem to some of you a strange thing that there should be an imperial edict issued by Rome which should have an important influence upon the place of the birth of the child. Yet I do not doubt that in God's esteem, the whole of the great Roman Empire was of very small account in comparison with His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And today the thrones and dominions of the mightiest monarchs are only like the small cogs in the wheels of divine providence where the welfare of even the least of the Lord's people is concerned. He beckons not events according to their apparent importance. The standard of the sanctuary is the very different measure from that which worldlings use. When any purpose of God is to be accomplished, all other things will be subordinate to it. And so what you have here is the testimony of the Savior arriving on the earth, giving glory to God and magnifying His work of providence and His work of grace. That this one who was born, dear friend, would work out all His purposes and plans for you according to His mighty power and His wonderful grace. Sometimes we face situations in life where indeed they're troubling circumstances. There's a desperate need for the Savior. Maybe we're in unwelcoming surroundings. A difficult time in which the Savior arrives. But recognize and understand the fulfilling of the promises, the prophecies of the promise of God in His birth. And notice the way that Luke describes it, verse 8. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Have you received Him? He was not able even to find a more adequate place, according to verse 7, there was no place for them in the inn. You can tell the story of the rejection of this one, even as the hatred of Herod, King Herod in Matthew chapter 2, rises up and inquires with the Magi, "Where is he? You go find this king, and I'll come and worship him also." But you know the story, his intention was to kill that child. Understand, dear friend, that this one who came into the world is the Lord Christ. He is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. All that we need in the salvation, in His rule, in His reign over us, and the fulfilling of His promises. I was thinking this week of all of the precious promises that the Lord Jesus gives to His people. To receive Him to have Him as yours, to believe His words, and to live for Him. The prophecies that are fulfilled and the promises believed at His birth. Notice on your notes there, these final words here to consider these things. Jesus is the only Savior for everyone who does receive Him and believe Him. There is no other one that can save us from our sins. And I'm so grateful there are so many of you that are here today that you say, yes, Jesus is my Savior, and I celebrate Him this Christmas season as the one who came to save me from my sins. And I even ask Him for forgiveness, and He's saving me from sins even today. You understand, dear friend, that Jesus didn't come into this world to save you from difficult circumstances. He came to save you and me from ourselves. Satan wants us to get all focused sometimes on the circumstances. And yet right in the narrative are troubling circumstances and unwelcoming surroundings when the Savior is born. The fulfillment of prophecies that are given to us. Jesus is the only Savior for everyone who does receive Him and believe Him. Have you received Him? Have you believed Him? Do you believe the testimony that is given of this one? He is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Do you say, yes, I need to be saved. I need Him to shepherd me. I need Him to give me peace. I need Him to be my Lord. Secondly, we think about this. Jesus does fulfill the promises of God for all who come to Him and trust in Him. You know, the thing that we often overlook with the Christmas story so many times is the number of people that come to Jesus. The shepherds come to Jesus here in Luke chapter 2. The Magi come to Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, the shepherds, Matthew chapter 2, the Magi. They come to Jesus. Why? They come to Him and they trust in Him. The shepherds in this story, they hear and they go and tell everyone what they've seen and heard, that a Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born. For you, He's been born. Thirdly, Jesus will accomplish all that He desires for anyone and anything who comes to Him. It's such a powerful thing to consider that Jesus can do whatever He wants to do in any situation that you're in. If you believe that He is Lord God, He is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, He wants to work in your life. He wants to see His glory on display in you. And it's powerful when you think of it that way. Ultimately, that's the reason why we confess sin, is because Christ is not glorified in that. And I come to Him and He is glorified in being my Savior and forgiving me for that and putting me on a different path in my life, that my life has changed. And finally, Jesus calls us to Himself to behold Him and to hold Him as the Lord and our Savior. The word of the angel that night was, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. For today in the city of David there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And He's in a manger. Come, shepherds. Have you come to the Lord Jesus and bowed your knee to Him and acknowledged Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your Christ? the prophecies that are fulfilled and the promises believed at his birth. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I pray that we all here this morning would recognize and understand that you come into our troubling circumstances and our unwelcome surroundings, and you desire to be our Savior. I thank you for each one who's here today who has put their trust and faith in you, Lord Jesus, and they do celebrate your birth, and they would say, yes, Jesus, he is my Savior and my Lord and my Christ. Oh, would you encourage their hearts in this Christmas season and all that they would face and go through, that you would show yourself mighty and powerful in their lives. And Lord Jesus, you know the ones that may be here today who have not bowed their knee to you. I pray that the picture of you humbly laid in a manger would cause them to draw near to you, Lord Jesus, and whatever they're facing today. Maybe they know and they have a desperate need for a Savior and they need to cry out to you this morning and ask you to forgive them for their sins. Would you do that work in their life even now? We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to the earth to live a perfect life for us and to die on a cross for our sins. And they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you do save us. Would you open the eyes of the sinner, a sinner who might be here today, that they need to ask you to forgive them for their sins. May indeed, as we recognize the prophecies that have been fulfilled this Christmas season, as we look back, that we as a people would move forward in the promises believed that you are the Savior, you are the Lord, you are the Christ. May you, Lord Jesus, be glorified in us, in our lives, in the life of this church body. And we thank you for this time we have to be together. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read for you again these words, so powerful. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What a wonderful statement. May God help us in the days ahead to tell others that there is a Savior, that He is Christ the Lord. So glad to be together this morning. Merry Christmas to you and your families. Enjoy celebrating our Savior's birth this week. May the Lord bless you this week.